All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Article Show. I've got Deep Dead Penetration,
What's
DP, and we are going to talk about a lot of shit. But first, our sponsor, SpinningRobotPussy.com. If you don't have your Spinning Robot Pussy yet, then what are you doing? You can get one from SpinningRobotPussy.com, and they haven't raised the price yet, but they are going to, so make sure to go ahead and get one from Revy Innovations before that happens, or you'll be paying a lot more for pussy. All right, so after that...
If it's not a acne pussy, it ain't pussy, though. It ain't fit to eat.
Anyway, so we do have some interesting things going on with the channel. More comics are coming. I actually recently read all of Swing. You guys are going to see that, and as we know, Drexel, the Midtown Podcast, knows a lot about the swinger community, and surprisingly, a lot of those terms, like, basically the people that wrote Swing, they're swingers. Like, the comic book is written by a couple that was part of swinger clubs for a number of years, and it's all based on experience. It's a white man and Asian woman, and even all the Asian stuff that we talk about is verified there. All of it. Every single fucking bit. And basically, his wife, who is Asian, she gave him a ton of input into how the Asian family is. Oh, yeah. It's word for word. It even sounds stereotypical, but it's not. That's just how it is. And I think a lot of white guys looking for these Asian waifus or whatever, they're gonna understand. Remember, the big thing is the mother that immediately tells her daughter he's white, who says that so-and-so, another Asian woman she knows, married a white man, and now they live in Trailer Park. So she says, why is he not a doctor? Why is he blah, blah, blah? I mean, dude, that's very important. I mean, I don't know why you guys, like, all the stereotypes of the Asian women is damn near fucking true. And if it's not the woman, the young girl that you're dating, it's the mother. And you're going to have to put up with that. So I don't think a lot of you guys are ready for that. And Swing definitely touches on those issues. It also touches on what it's like to be in a marriage for a long time and how you guys kind of stop getting it on as much. There's a lot more, I'm not ready, I don't want to do that, I got a headache, it'll feel good, let's not do that. Respikes, basically they showed the man and the woman, and they put responsibilities in great big words between them, and they were basically showing that they had more responsibilities, taking care of, you know, working, taking care of the kids, stuff like that, that they just didn't have time to be intimate. And it's really good. I don't want to spoil it all for you, but basically, I did 47 minutes of the comic, and we also did some previews, because they had a preview of the book she did, Sugar, which, by the way, has no text in it at all, so I pretty much had to kind of illustrate the panels, you know, the best I could. So, I don't know how well that's gonna go, but it's pretty neat, I guess. And then we have Bloodstain, which I actually have all the comics for that. And all this stuff is considered to be part of the same universe within Top Cow. So if you guys like sexy comics and stuff that's like more... Apparently this appealed to women in their 30s. That was what the writer Matt Hawkins was saying. He said that women in their 30s fucking love this shit. So that's why they keep writing it. And... I mean, there's a lot of backs getting blown out, so there you go. But we'll have that for you probably tomorrow, because I don't really have that much content. I've been Super Sentai-ing it up lately. Okay, before we get to that, though, quick health update. So I got the results of my biopsy. Basically, they found I have an 11-millimeter stricture. That's not crazy. That's 1.1 centimeters, and the largest they go is 4. So it's pretty small, but I have decided to, you know, go ahead and keep taking my pantoprazole twice a day, because basically he's not even going to dilate me until after I get done for 3 months and they can confirm that the ulcers are gone. They found out I had mild gastritis. That's pretty much it. other than like the myelogastritis and the polyp, which I know you guys are freaking out about, but it's a fundic polyp. It was 5 millimeters. They removed it during the endoscopy, and hopefully another one won't pop up in its place, but rarely are fundic polyps cancerous. You can Google that yourself. They're one of the most common polyps found in the stomach, and they're very rarely cancerous. So,
except in this cat, no.
Yeah. But, and if there's a lot of them, it's an issue. They only found one, so they got rid of it immediately, and they tested it, and they looked at it, and I'm going to talk with my doctor again, because, I mean, he didn't want to see me again until June, but I decided I need to go in and kind of talk to him about these biopsy results. I said, you know, walk me through some of this. Basically, I'm making some dietary changes, but, you know, but basically I'd like to talk with the doctor. Should I eat this? Should I eat that? Should I drink, you know, what? Because this is all going to go down to what I eat and drink. I'm not taking the NSAID anymore. They think this is NSAID. But I don't take the NSAID. I haven't taken the NSAID in months, guys. So I don't plan on taking no more BC powders. I use Tylenol if I got a headache or any kind of pain. Sometimes I'll put a muscle rub on the nerve. That's better than taking an NSAID. So I just do whatever I got to do for the sinus pain that I occasionally get. But that's what I'm doing with health. It's not anything to be worried about. Even my friend was a nurse. Basically it does home health care for older people. She says this is actually not very bad. She told me that it's relatively good news. It could have been a hell of a lot worse. So that's good, right? Anyway, hey, since I'm having all these issues, you know, I said, because I don't know what's going on with the other thing, you know, the cyst, it gives me pain sometimes and then it doesn't. And then there's some more man type things I don't want to really talk about here, but it's just, you know, it's a bit bothersome. I guess I could talk about, you know, there's a lot more pain in certain things, and something I want to talk with my urologist about, and I can't see him to fucking April, but I think it just needs to be drained. There is one thing I do want to talk to you guys about, though, because y'all don't know it, and there is something on the internet called, Gooning or whatever is basically, they're basically trying to get, it's like, basically you look at all kinds of porn and you masturbate, but you don't ever, like, release. You just continue to hold and hold and hold and hold and hold. Now there's a problem with that, because you have what's called a dry ejaculation. You know when you've had a, basically you go to masturbate and there was nothing would come out, but you would feel the effects. Okay, that is called a dry ejaculation. Now, that is a problem. Let me tell you why that's a problem. Because that's how you get these kinds of cysts. And it's also how you can end up infertile. Yes, it can lead to infertility in men by having too many dry ejaculations. The blue balls thing, yes, that can actually fuck with your testicles. So anytime somebody tells you, oh, you gotta hold it, bro. No. And when you are going, make sure that it comes out. If you leave it in, you're pushing yourself at risk of a whole lot of other problems. It needs to, any kind of flow needs to come out. Like, if you're not pushing that out, if you're stopped, like, basically, you know, if you're watching porn or something, you flip from one video to another, or what, and it changes your, like, maybe you're not as erect as you were, something like that. Yeah, that can cause problems. Or maybe if you were about to go, and then you lost your focus, and you went down, that's bad. Because you're supposed to, when you're doing the deed, you're supposed to make sure it goes right then and there. Because if you don't, if you hold it, that can cause infertility. And I don't think a lot of guys know that. But it's true. If you're holding it in, it can cause infertility. So you don't want to be infertile if you want to choose, especially if you're young and watching this channel and you are interested in having kids at some point. You probably don't want to have that. Of course, you can always adopt and things like that. But yes, infertility, that's not something you want. It also decreases the amount of enjoyment you get from orgasms. So, you know, maybe don't want that. So check it out, and always, you know, make sure to do proper testicle exams, stuff like that. You know how to do that. There's a lot of sources on the internet for that. But yeah, make sure you're keeping up with that kind of stuff, because a lot of guys, they just don't know. They don't have the information. They see this stuff on the internet, they're like, oh, I'm going to try to hold it in as long as I want. Yeah, yeah, and even women are guilty of this, because TFM would say when he had sex with a woman, they're like, oh no, don't come automatically. And the problem is, if the longer you hold it and the more trouble, you know, like the bigger chance you have of a dry orgasm, the more less chance you have of being fertile. And that could cause problems when y'all two are trying to have a kid. Well, why doesn't he have it? Well, maybe because you're pushing him to keep it in. And the longer you keep it in, it actually builds up in there. A lot of people don't understand that. It builds up in there. That's, what do you think a cyst is? It's a buildup of either liquid, or especially if it's a sperm, it's a spermatic one. It's a buildup of sperm. It blocks, you hear me, blocks the other sperm from getting out. So, yeah, you're going to have a problem with that. It's all very important shit. And, of course, they don't talk to you about that. You got to do research. You got to look things up. There's a lot of good sources out there for that. People don't know, oh, I didn't know I could go in for it. Well, you can. So make sure that you're getting everything out that you need to. And remember, 2 or more days a week is the recommended. I wouldn't go, you know, too far. You know, that's one problem. There's too many guys that are just spending their time licking at porn all the time. That's not good either. It's all about...
finding a good medium.
Yeah. Good medium.
I mean, I've gotten to where I've done, like, wait until I just can't control myself anymore.
Yeah, but don't
I gotta hold, get that evil out of me.
Yeah, but don't hold it back. Don't hold it back too long. You hold it back too long.
There's a guy friends with us at, he's been following this motivational speaker on YouTube, but he aspires to be a motivational speaker himself, and the guy he follows, he's trying to promote that thing, which is no fapping.
Oh, God, and that's going to fuck... See, that's the problem.
I said, I'll give it a shot, see how long I could... Apparently, after a month, I was ready just to rape anything.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not a rapist, good. And I don't even have those
it's
thoughts.
It's not good, but generally. We talked about this. It's not good.
No, it's not.
So, anyway, that gets that out of the... That gets that out. So, I guess I can talk about, since I finished Die Ranger. Basically, they say, was it worth staying up to 6 in the morning to watch the end of Die Ranger? No, it wasn't. I'll tell you why. Because Die Ranger, of course, was set up with a Chinese motif. Basically, they were rangers with Chinese powers. You know, young people, and of course there was the kid that played the Kiba Ranger, and they had Akamaru. Of course, it turns out they're brothers, and his mother actually had a kid with the bad guy, Shaddam. They're actually, so Shaddam is Ko's father, and same thing with Akamaru. They're both his sons, and he laughs it off like it's no big deal. And he treats his kids like shit. He's like truly a bad father. Doesn't matter who they are. And he treats the mother like shit too. There's a lot of stuff that they really don't go over in there as far as their relationship and what happened. But you can tell. But basically, okay. Ko is Gorma. So basically what that means is when he reaches his 10th birthday, he was going to become Gorma. He'd become the villains. But the problem with the Gorma is that they don't really seem like villains, because that's all you still, like, you go into the Gorma Palace, and there's all these regular, normal people there. Like, there's not a bunch of monsters or evil. You know, normally in Sentai, when you look at the evil villains play, it looks like monsters and evil thing. No, there's just these regular people there that are just, like, dressed up in a royal kind of Chinese garb and stuff like that. And they generally have their own country, almost. And they're basically saying, okay, Because basically, Shaddam wants to take over the Earth. That was his whole thing. He wants to take over the Earth, but the Emperor doesn't want them to. And you find out that the master that was training them was Gorma himself, because of course he is. So he's like, well, I'm going to disband the Dire Rangers, and you have to go. And it's like, what do you mean? And the Dire Rangers are like, no, we don't want to disband. So he uses all his fucking powers, and basically everything they throw at him, he just throws back at him. Until they're just completely wiped out, and he takes all their shit and runs off. And there's like, we can't even transform anymore. And he's like, well, you go back to doing your normal lives. Well, basically, see, what they were trying to do is he was setting up two altars. One was the Gorma energy, and one was the Dai energy. Dai, of course, was light. Gorma was dark. So you're kind of getting the idea here, right? So basically, he was going to use both these powers, because what they were doing is they were going to have a fight between him, who was actually the chief officer, and Shaddam to find out who's going to be the next emperor. So basically, they had this big fight, and one of the Gorma actually tries to get involved, you know, destroy the damn altars. And in the middle of the fight, where they're, you know, they're fighting against each other, the altars get destroyed, of course. So then Master gets killed. Because Shaddam just takes fucking advantage and kills the Master completely. And, of course, the Dire Rangers get there, and they find that their Master's dead. And not only that, Shaddam goes into the Emperor of the Gorma, and basically says, you know, I can't wait. I'm going to basically take care of you. He said, basically, you were just a puppet. I made you a puppet so I could infiltrate the Gorma from underneath. You know, I was that you were. It's like everybody is. Zydos is a puppet. Gaara was really scared because she and the basically there was a incarnation of the Peacock Buddha, and before she was an incarnation, she was a girl. Basically, her and Gaara were friends, and there was a avalanche of rocks, and Gaara got a scar across her face. So basically, she says, well, I can't show my face to anyone. And she hated Kunjaku ever since because of that scar on her face. So she basically became evil and sold herself to the Gorma. And they confronted each other, and she took the sacred peacock's tears, which was supposed to revive Kunjaku, because, of course, she has one of those little, oh, if I don't get this within a certain amount of time, I'll die. So basically what she does, she takes the peacock tears, she puts it on the girl's, Gaara's face. And of course they had this big battle to where Gaara was fucking blind and there's blood coming down from her eyes. Her eyes literally just, I guess she took her kunai and just slashed her eyes out. But basically, she's just, I'm blind, but I'm still not going to lose to you. So she's got her eyes just completely closed, and she's just throwing the magic everywhere, and it's not, you know, it's not affecting anything. Till finally, she just gets taken down, and they put the little peacock tears on her face, and she says, Gaara, open your eyes, and she can see again. And also, she notices the wound, the scar is no longer there. And, of course, you know, Gaara's not thankful. She says, well, you think just because you did a good gesture that I'm going to be, you know, good or thankful? It's like, no, I sold my soul to the Gorma. And it turns out that Kunjaku comes back from heaven because, of course, she ascends after she loses all her peacock feathers and dies. She ascends with the real Gaara and said, oh, well, she's been in heaven. And she says, Gaara, I hate to tell you this, but I'm your ascended self. And basically, you died 6,000 years ago. So the person that you are now is a clay puppet. So not only was the Emperor a clay puppet, but Gaara was a clay puppet, and Zydos, of course, when he was defeated, he was a clay puppet. So, guess what? They have this great big fucking battle where, basically Shaddam takes literally the only power he gets is this earth-shaking gem that allows him to just do all kinds of crazy stuff. And he has the Emperor's garb and stuff now. He looks completely different. His face is pale white, and, you know, he looks like the Emperor, but he looks like, you know, him. He's a younger version. Yeah. And he basically uses the gem to fight everybody, but it turns out that, you know, Here's the funny thing. It turns out that during the battle, they realize that, yes, surprisingly, and I don't even understand that, because he tries to say that he was responsible for all the clay puppets, but guess who winds up also being a clay puppet? Shaddam. Shaddam's like, I too was a clay puppet? This doesn't even make sense. No, Japan, it fucking doesn't. That's where my criticism comes in. This is the villain, and guess what? We never find out who's responsible for the clay puppets. Never. We just know that there's all the enemies, all the villains crumple into dust and blow away. But we don't know who created them. We don't know who's responsible, because everybody that would be responsible is a clay puppet and they die. So I'm like, what the fuck was even all this for? And then they go back and they say, and the master, he ascends from heaven and basically says, look, Gorma and the Dai need each other. They're like light and darkness. You power and key power. You power is the Gorma power. Key power is the Dai power. They said that they have to exist together. So it is their destiny to fight each other for the rest of time. Over and over and over and over and over again. So what happens is they go 50 years later. Now this is cool, because they're actually all the same actors, but they made them old. Like, they basically have great big long beards, and they're bald and everything else. It's like the geriatric diaries. I'm like, oh my god. I thought it was just going to be they do a reunion. But yeah. No, they said the Gorma is back. It's like, after 50 years? I thought we defeated them already. And then I'm like, oh my god, are we going to get to see fucking geriatric rangers? Please tell me they're going to... I mean, they could barely walk. They were trying to do moves. And dude's like, oh, my back! And I'm like, yes, please let me see these old people jump into this robot and try to fight this damn monster. But what happened was they actually took the real actors and they made them look different. And they made them look like their children. So they basically said, we're the same actors, but we're adults now. And we just look, oh, my great-grandmother. And, you know, and they basically had them fight the Gorma again. So we're like, okay, so if they're all clay puppets, is this just something that happens all the time? No. But there is one thing about Die Ranger that is fascinating. I've never seen it. I haven't seen that much Sentai, but I've never seen it done before. And basically, it's the Great Dragon God. Every time they would go to fight, the Great Dragon God would come out of fucking, like, towards the end of the series, he would come out from the moon, and he would destroy, he would start destroying shit. Because basically, he's like the angry man that says, y'all two fighting again? That's what he would do every time. He's like, and he basically would crush the villain, or he'd crush the robot. He's like, no, you guys can't fight. He's like, if you continue fighting, I'm going to kill all humanity, and I'm going to destroy this fucking planet. And that's basically what the guy that turns into the turtle, I know it's weird, but the guy that turns into the turtle was trying to tell him. He said, look, if we don't do something, he's going to kill everybody. Basically, he hypnotized all of humanity to walk up these great big tall buildings and stand on the ledges. And he basically said, if you don't stop fighting, I'm going to have them all take their lives one by one. And remember, this is a children's show. But they're all going to take their lives one by one. And they're basically standing there. They have zombie looks in their eyes. And they're like... And finally, they manage to stop him. And the way they do it is he does it. Like, he actually starts making them drop. But the master reappears, and he basically stops them. He uses his power to bring them back. So they basically brings them back up to the top of the building. And eventually the dragon just gets pissed and fucking goes back to the moon. So we don't know what the hell the dragon's purpose is, but it's fascinating. It's a hell of a fucking series. I just summed up like 50 goddamn episodes. But yeah, it's a good series. I just don't like the ending because they just say, oh, it never ends. It goes on and on and on and on and on. They'll be fighting them for the end of time because they have to exist for light and darkness. I get the idea, but it makes the whole thing not worth it because it means nothing happened. Everything that fucking happened in the series doesn't mean anything because it's just going to go around and around and around in circles. It's just like, okay, it was fun to watch, but nothing was resolved. I mean, literally just 50 years went by, and then boom, they're back again. Let's redo the whole fucking thing, but this time with the grandkids. So that was really kind of stupid. I really think they could have ended it better. But other than that, it's not bad. You can find it on Internet Archive. By the way, you can find a lot of Sentai on Internet Archive. You pretty much find all the Sentai subbed on Internet Archive. You just gotta know where to look. There's a guy named Whelan something. He's been adding this shit since August 2021. So, you can definitely grab all of them. Even from the very first back in 1975 with the corny ass fucking designs. Which I'm gonna sit and watch. And you can watch all of them up until, I'm not sure how far it goes, but it's pretty far. I mean, I found Bulkanger and Abba Ranger and a lot of more recent, not super recent, but more recent stuff on there. So, just check it out and, definitely let me know what you think. I'm all into the Sentai now. I'm gonna really give anime and stuff a break. But, after I get through watching all the seasons of Sentai, I'll probably maybe jump on some other stuff. But that's what I'm trying to get through right now. Because Sentai and all the Power Rangers stuff is a really big part of my childhood. And I always really liked that. Like, it was a thing. I was going to try to write a book based on that kind of stuff. Sentai, basically tokusatsu inspired stuff. So now that I've actually got all the Japanese stuff, yeah, I'm going to fucking sit and watch it. You only live once. So yeah, I might as well live and enjoy this stuff while I get a chance. Because, you know, at least I was there and could see it, and I generally enjoy and get into these shows. Like, I could literally sit and get something out of them, you know. There's a lot of really deep conversations and all that kind of stuff that goes on. Emotional stuff. But it's great. Anyway, let's go on ahead and start the articles. I know it's 12 o'clock, but, you know, this might be a little later show than normal. Because I had a lot to talk about. And of course, if you're not interested in the Sentai, of course, you can fast forward. But let's go ahead and...
She said that before they turned off the...
That's all right. Okay, so we have... What do we have? Oh, well, let's talk about the slap heard round the world.
Yep.
Basically, from what Critical Drinker said... and of course, if you want to hear it uncut, because I was listening to Gundam and Gundam bleeped out the F-bomb. But, basically, Chris Rock was saying just pretty normal fucking joke. He was talking about G.I. Jane because Jada Pinkett Smith's head was shaven. And he decided to, I mean, it's just not that bad. It's not that bad.
He is upset.
Because she has alopecia.
Alopecia.
And yeah. It's not a fucking death
sentence. It's not a big deal, yeah.
And,
stop her from fucking everyone else in town.
Yeah, and basically, Will Smith goes up there. And again, it's like Critical Drinker said, you know, you think he's going to just go ahead and do some banter or say something funny over the microphone or something. Just, you know, get him back. And instead, he just goes up there and backhands the shit out of him. And then after that, he says, "Get my wife's name out your fucking mouth." And I'm like, holy
shit.
Said
it like twice.
Yeah, he said it. He's real pissed off about it. And, yeah, that was probably the highlight of the Oscars. Now, by the way, for those of you that didn't really catch what won the Oscars. Now, who gives a shit about the musical that won the Oscars? Children of Deaf, whatever. Deaf. I mean, cool, Deaf Children musical, that might be alright.
Deaf
Children? Yeah, that's what it is, Children of Deaf whatever. It's it was made, now, what's interesting? What's interesting?
Am I thinking it right?
What's interesting about it is that the producer-director is actually deaf, and, you know, it's one of those, people would say, oh, they gave it diversity. Yeah, it's probably a diversity thing. However.
Did you enjoy the songs you sang? I don't know.
However, you may be surprised to know that Dune actually took home most of the awards. Dune actually took home more awards than any other movie. And you know what? This is interesting, guys, because this is a movie I actually fucking saw and own. I don't know how many of these damn movies before, like, what was the other one? Something Land? No, I didn't even watch that movie. I don't even fucking care to watch that movie.
What in the hell?
The movie that won last year, Something Land, Nomadland. No, I don't fucking care. Fuck Nomadland. Dune, I actually went and saw. Was it great? No, it wasn't that great. But it was better than... I mean, it was an action movie. It was an action sci-fi movie.
What the hell is that fairy doing, by the way?
It's something better than the stuffy bullshit that normally happens. I tried to cut out as much shit as I could. It's better than the stuff, it's better than the bullshit we normally get. This is a period film or a history piece or whatever. No, it's fucking opposite Star Wars, and it won awards. Okay, I'm glad. I don't know if Star Wars won any Oscars, but guess what? Dune did, and Dune deserves it, and it means there's still some people in the goddamn Academy that understand what movies are, what people are actually fucking watching. So, surprisingly, I'm okay with the results of the Oscars. Their movie of the year? Now, fuck it. It's just some puffy shit. But Dune, yeah, it got all it deserved. Alright, so, that being said, let's start with the articles here. This happened in March 16th, but it's important. Why is it important? Well... Boston BLM activist and husband indicted on federal fraud charges. A Black Lives Matter activist and her husband are facing federal fraud and conspiracy charges after allegedly using a nonprofit they founded to scam at least $185,000 from donors, federal authorities announced Tuesday. Monica Cannon Grant and her husband, Clark Grant, allegedly used money from their nonprofit, Violence in Boston, to pay for rent, shopping sprees, hotels, car rentals, auto repairs, meal deliveries, and a summer vacation trip to Maryland. Well, of all the places, yeah. We're going to Maryland! Yay!
No one will think anything. We're going to Maryland.
Yeah. The U.S. Attorney's Office said in a statement. The couple was charged in an 18-count indictment with 2 counts of wire fraud conspiracy, 1 count of conspiracy, 13 counts of wire fraud, and 1 count of making false statements to a mortgage lending business. Cannon Grant was also charged with 1 count of mail fraud. Cannon Grant was arrested Tuesday and released without bail. She'll be allowed to continue working at the nonprofit twice a week but can't handle its finances, the Boston Globe reported. Federal agents arrested Grant in October and charged him with lying on a mortgage statement and collecting pandemic unemployment benefits illegally. Cannon Grant's lawyer, Robert Goldstein, claimed prosecutors had rushed to judgment, adding, we remain fully confident Monica will be vindicated when a complete factual record emerges. Drawing conclusions from an incomplete and factual record does not represent the fair and fully informed process a citizen deserves from its government, especially someone like Monica who has worked tirelessly on behalf of her community, Goldstein said in a statement obtained by Fox News. The couple first founded Violence in Boston in 2017 with a mission to improve the quality of life and life outcomes of individuals from underserved communities. Now, some people might say that fits, but... By reducing the prevalence of violence and the impact of associated trauma while addressing social injustices through advocacy and direct services, according to its website. Cannon Grant was later named Best Social Justice Advocate by Boston Magazine and was one of Boston Globe's Bostonians of the Year. She is a prominent Black Lives Matter leader in the city, according to Fox News. The Cambridge, Mass. chapter of Black Lives Matter became an early donor to Violence in Boston, giving $3,000 to the organization for its program to feed children in need. The couple allegedly transferred that donation to the bank account of one Cannon Grant's family members, according to the indictment as reported by the New York Post. The couple also allegedly took a trip to Columbia, Maryland in 2019 using a $6,000 grant that the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office gave Violence in Boston to take 10 at-risk young men on a 3-day violence prevention retreat in Philadelphia. The next year, the nonprofit collected donations of up to $50,000 a month. The couple withdrew some of the money in cash from ATMs or transferred the donations to investment accounts at Robinhood and E-Trade websites, according to the indictment. Cannon Grant and her husband also allegedly legally collected an estimated $100,000 in federal pandemic-related unemployment benefits. Because, of course, they did. $100,000, right? Man, unemployment benefits for $100,000? That'd be nice, right? The pair collected unemployment benefits while Ken and Grant allegedly earned more than $27,000 in consulting fees for working with a media company on its diversity, equity, and inclusion training, because of course she did, and took home a $2,788 week salary. Week salary.
$182,000?
No. $2,788 a week from Violence in Boston.
From Violence? Oh, the charity.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, you usually have to work like 2 weeks on an oil rig to make that kind of money.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Grant had full-time employment with a commuter services company. So not only was she making a ridiculous amount of money a week, she was already working to make more money. In March 2021, Ken and Grant allegedly texted her husband that unemployment caught my ass. Grant suggested she should have had an associate pen a letter falsely stating that Violence in Boston's headquarters was closed, according to the indictment. Though the associate did not write such a letter, the unnamed associate allegedly created a backdated letter that Grant used to scam unemployment payments. The couple also allegedly used the nonprofit's assets to qualify for a mortgage to buy a home in the Boston suburbs. Wow.
Makes you sick.
Yeah. Well, you know what else is going to make you sick?
What?
We'll find out. It's going to be...
A dick in the ass, that'll make anyone sick.
No, this should make all of you sick. Jussie Smollett walks out of jail after appeal court orders release served less than a week of a 150-day conviction update.
He better not run in.
Update, 6:41 p.m. He is officially out of jail.
That's so stupid.
Following the decision earlier today by an Illinois appellate court, or is it appellate? Appellate court, to cut short the former Empire Star's 150-day sentence pending appeal, Smollett walked out of Cook County Jail at around 8 p.m. local time. Surrounded by members of his defense team, family, and other supporters, Smollett was silent as he exited the Chicago facility. Defense attorney Naya Uch told the assembled media that his client only drank water over the past 6 days and ate no food whatsoever. After less than a week behind bars on a 150-day sentence for faking a hate crime, Jussie Smollett would be walking out of the Cook County Jail on Wednesday.
That's his own choice to just drink water. Fuck him.
A one-page order unceremoniously released by the Illinois appellate court today in a 2-1 decision granted the motion from the former Empire actor's lawyers for a stay of the sentence. Denied an appeal by the sentencing judge last week, the defense team sought to set Smollett free while his appeal on 5 felony convictions is pending. The appellate court judge agreed, citing that Smollett likely already would have served his jail time sentence before his appeal had gotten very far. The order also noted that the actor has been convicted on nonviolent offenses, which is an obvious factor. In fact, the paperwork's only real demand was that Smollett put up $150,000 personal reconnaissance bond? I don't know. That's a weird one. The process around that bond and Smollett walking out a free man for now is taking place, I hear. Convicted on December the 9th, 2020, over the widely covered January 2019 so-called MAGA attack, Smollett was sentenced to 150 days in jail on March 10th as part of an overall sentence of 30 months probation. That sentence also included $120,106 in restitution to the Windy City for cops' overtime spent on its initial case and a further $25,000 fine. The fines and probation remain in place, but Smollett is free to travel outside the Windy City and check in remotely with authorities. Last week, just before being led away by deputies after a visibly angered Judge James Lynn handed down the sentence, Smollett stood up at the defense table and yelled, "I am not suicidal! If anything happens to me in there, I did not do it," the actor continued. As he was being escorted out of the courtroom, Smollett raised his fist in the air and loudly declared, "I am not suicidal. I am innocent." God, they gotta keep showing the thing with Chris Rock now. I'm looking at it now. I'm reading this article and they're showing me the damn video where...
Well, the thing about that is, too, I think he should have... You know, I know he didn't serve all of it, but he should have got way more than 150 days. You think about how much those guys that he paid off would have got if they'd been convicted.
Right.
Years upon years, probably at least a decade, because they don't play around with the hate crime, I guess. But, yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, they need to stop calling everything race and treating black people the same. But the same thing's going on with the, I guess, the Black Lives Matter movement as the feminist movement. They don't want equal rights. They want better rights than white people. And, well, and women's, they want better rights than men. They don't want equal rights.
Right.
I think people should just treat them, treat black people the same as any other race.
Right.
And stop giving them a complex that they're owed something.
Yeah.
No one alive now was slave involved
owner,
in slavery.
The first slave owner was a black man. Drexel said that several times.
I mean, say my great-great-great-grandfather was shot.
Yeah.
Does that family that shot him owe me anything now? No, because they weren't around then to make a decision.
Absolutely.
And a lot of white people like my family didn't even come here. You know, they immigrated here in like the maybe early 1800s.
Yeah. As sibling Journey Smollett, Empire co-star Taraji P. Henson and others plead for the actor to be released, he was placed in protective custody. Under armed guard surveillance and cameras, Smollett later was moved to the psychiatric ward, as revealed by his brother on social media. Unsurprisingly, Special Prosecutor Daniel Webb unsuccessfully opposed the move to free Smollett. Not only is Smollett not being held in solitary confinement, but the Cook County Sheriff's Office made public the specific measures that are being taken to ensure the health, safety, and well-being of Mr. Smollett while he serves his jail term, the former Iran-Contra lawyer told the court today in reference to the relatively benign conditions under which the actor was incarcerated. Now there'll be more courtroom drama in this sad saga. Okay, so
that makes me sick.
This is what I'm thinking. Basically, look, there's a lot of guys that get thrown away because of fucking weed, okay? Yeah. And this dude, he got nothing. And why? Because he's famous, because he was on Empire, because he's known in Hollywood, because he has all these connections and can afford these expensive lawyers. Like, a regular brother, he can't do that. He's going away for a while for something stupid, even...
even a white guy or any other race.
Well, I'm just saying regular brothers, you know, because a lot of black people, they're number one incarcerated. So basically, there's a lot of brothers that literally get taken advantage of by this jail system. It's true.
Well, you got to think, too, black people, they say, make up like 13 to 16% of the population, but they're over 50%. Of the lockup.
Well, that's prison. True, but that doesn't mean that they're all respond that they've done, you know, like I said, just know, having weed, just doing, you know, stuff that isn't even really all that important. Yeah,
there are more white people killed by the cops than black people. It's you can look up the statistics. And, you know, they had a thing the other day where they're showing something that happened before George Floyd about that one guy in Louisiana that was pretty much had the same thing done to him, except it was under suspicion of drugs or intoxication. He wasn't even intoxicated, but they pulled him out, put the knee to the back.
We've talked about that.
I know we've talked about it before.
We've talked about that one.
But,
okay.
You know.
Yeah. Well, let me go ahead and get to the next one. Pregnant woman gives husband $650,000 Lamborghini so he would care for her and the baby day and night. A pregnant Malaysian woman shared a video online which she surprised her husband with a $650,000 Lamborghini in anticipation of his dedicated caretaking of her and their baby. And as a Uni Osman, 19, uploaded the video to TikTok on March 12th, showing viewers how she surprised her husband by taking him into a car dealership blindfolded. In the video, her husband, 20-year-old Weldon Zol Kefi, cries from happiness after seeing the turquoise Huracan Evo wrapped in a giant red bow. Osman is a cosmetics entrepreneur from Kelantan, Malaysia, where she plans to stay at her family's home while recovering postpartum. She is due at the end of March and plans to have a C-section birth, after which she expects to be confined for over 3 months. Since its posting, the video has received 1.5 million views and 160,000 likes, with many TikTok users congratulating the couple and commenting on the sweet moment. Husband said that the gift is partially the result of her gratitude for her husband's sacrifices, but that the main reason is her anticipation that Zolkefi will be taking care of Osman and her baby around the clock. I'm gifting him this Lamborghini because I want him by my side throughout my confinement, she told Malaysian news outlet M-Star. I'm expecting my husband to not only be with me all the time, but he has to take care for the baby day and night, because there's a huge possibility I'll be having a cesarean birth, she added. Moms out there will know how painful a C-section is, so I want more attention from my husband. Osman also explained that her husband tends to work at night. I'm just worried when he stays up all night, sleeps during the day. That's when our child will fuss about. When that happens, I have to wake him up to manage the baby, the 19-year-old said. So that's interesting, right? She's got enough money to buy him a brand new sports car. It's weird. It's not something you hear very often.
No. I was wondering how, where the money
came. She's a cosmetics and entrepreneur.
Okay. Entrepreneur usually means poor as hell.
Well, I don't know.
Unless she's a successful entrepreneur.
I don't know. As 5G wireless arrives, older phones are about to become roadkill, like mine. Wireless customers throughout California nationwide can look forward to a big upgrade in service next year. Well, this was 2021, and possibly some major headaches as millions of older phones become obsolete. The wireless industry's transition to super fast, more reliable 5G networks will be finalized over the next 12 months. To free up bandwidth for the switch, older 3G networks are being shut down. Why don't have 3G? The big catch for consumers, as many as 10 million 3G cell phones now in circulation, will be useless. And while some wireless providers are offering new phones free of charge to consumers, those handsets may not be the same as what you now have. Alvin Tobias discovered this after receiving an email from AT&T the other day letting him know his 3G Samsung will go kaput. To use your AT&T service, once we shut down our 3G network, you'll need a new cell phone that works with our enhanced network, the company says. That means your cell phone will be replaced. It continued, we're shipping you a new free cell phone similar to the one you have today. Sounds good, except Tobias, 85, subsequently learned that AT&T's idea of similar may be more akin to his notion of different. The Torrance resident said he called AT&T after receiving the company's notice to ask if he'll be given a phone with the same technical specifications as his current phone, which he purchased a few years ago. A service rep, Tobias said, couldn't make that guarantee, although it seems likely any new phone would be an improvement in most ways over a 3G model. She wouldn't even tell me what they're sending, he recalled. She said I wouldn't know till it arrives. And if the new phone isn't as good, she said I could reject it and get my own. Which is to say, fasten your seatbelts, wireless loot users. The switch to 5G may be a bumpy fight. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be aggravating, because I imagine they're going to send you the cheapest thing possible.
New York Times reported, experts say a new generation of less destructive nuclear arms may make the prospect of a nuclear strike less unthinkable than it once was. Okay. That doesn't make much sense. Let's look at that. Smaller bombs that could turn Ukraine into a nuclear war zone.
Well, you know, right now they're trying to cover up that Hunter Biden and have that biological testing facility.
Oh, I know.
In Ukraine.
And just, oh, I don't know about that.
I can't remember who the other, Hunter Biden and it's someone else's daughter. It's in politics. I cannot think of their name.
Oh, by the way, shout out to Rock and Roll Dolls. They're having 100 sub special today. That doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're a smaller YouTuber, that is a big deal. So yeah, 100 subs. Congratulations. Keep subbing and promoting your dolls. Okay. In destructive power, the behemoths of the Cold War dwarfed the American atomic bomb that destroyed Hiroshima. Washington's biggest test blast was 1,000 times as large. Moscow's was 3,000 times. On both sides, the idea was to deter strikes with threats of vast retaliation, with mutual assured destruction, or MAD. The psychological bar was so high that nuclear strikes came to be seen as unthinkable. Today, both Russia and the United States have nuclear arms that are much less destructive. Their power just fractions of the Hiroshima bomb's force. Their use perhaps less frightening and more thinkable. Okay, so you like, okay. We'll just use the these lighter nukes. They're not going to be a problem. Concerned about these smaller arms, the sword is Vladimir Putin in the Ukraine war has warned of his nuclear might. And has put his atomic forces on alert and has had his military carry out risky attacks on nuclear power plants. The fear is that if Mr. Putin feels cornered in the conflict, he might choose to detonate one of his lesser nuclear arms, breaking the taboo set 76 years ago after Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Analysts note that the Russian troops have long practiced the transition from conventional to nuclear war, especially as a way to gain the upper hand after battlefield losses. And the military, they add, wielding the world's largest nuclear arsenal, has explored a variety of escalatory options that Mr. Putin might choose from. The chances are low but rising, said Ulrich Kuhn, a nuclear expert at the University of Hamburg and the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. The war is not going well for the Russians, he observed, and the pressure from the West is increasing. Mr. Putin might fire a weapon at an uninhabited area instead of at troops, Dr. Kuhn said. In a 2018 study, he laid out a crisis scenario in which Moscow detonated a bomb over a remote part of the North Sea as a way to signal deadly airstrikes to come. It feels horrible to talk about these things, Dr. Kuhn said in an interview, but we have to consider that this is becoming a possibility. Washington expects more atomic moves from Mr. Putin in the days ahead. Moscow is likely to increasingly rely on its nuclear deterrent to signal the West and project strength as the war and its consequences weaken Russia, Lieutenant General Director of the Defense Intelligence Agency said. Scott D. Barrier is the guy's name. Told the House Armed Services Committee in, whatever, on Thursday. President Biden is traveling to a NATO summit in Brussels this week to discuss the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The agenda is expected to include how the alliance will respond if Russia employs chemical, biological, cyber, or nuclear weapons. James R. Clapper Jr., retired Air Force general, who served as the President Barack Obama's Director of National Intelligence, said Moscow had lowered its bar for atomic use after the Cold War when the Russian army fell into disarray. Today, he added, Russia regards nuclear arms as utilitarian rather than unthinkable. They didn't care, Mr. Clapper said of Russian troops risking a radiation release earlier this month when they attacked the whatever, I'm not even going to pronounce the name of that reactor site.
Chernobyl?
No. This is not Zaporizhia, the largest not only in Ukraine but in Europe. They went ahead and fired on it. That's indicative of the Russian laissez-faire, let alone attitude. They don't make the distinctions that we do on nuclear weapons. Mr. Putin announced last month he was putting Russian nuclear forces in special combat readiness. A longtime researcher of Russia's nuclear forces said that the alert had most likely primed the Russian command and control system for the possibility of receiving a nuclear order. It's unclear how Russian exerts control over its arsenal of less destructive arms, but some U.S. politicians and experts have denounced the smaller weapons on both sides as threatening to upend the global balance of a nuclear terror. Okay, so it doesn't sound good.
Yep.
Okay, so different news. Bleeding Cool, where this week's Marvel Comics printed on toilet paper. As mentioned in my Saga preview yesterday, the fact that Image Comics has a $2.99 comic printed on decent quality paper and cover, while Marvel have $3.99 and $4.99 comics with fewer pages printed on what appears to be tissue paper, including the cover, seemed pretty rich this week. Readers in comic book stores were quick to notice on social media. Marvel, what's with the absolute trash quality of paper used on this week's comics? The covers feel like they're printed on newsprint, yet you charge the same price? Hashtag disappointed. This week's comics from Marvel and Penguin Random House is not up to quality. Damage and missing issues from PRH and Marvel printed their comics on thinner paper. NCBD, hey, at Marvel, did someone steal your paper stock this week? Maestro feels like it was printed on tissue paper. Happy NCBD. Is it just me, or does the paper of today's Marvel Comics seem really flimsy and cheap? Marvel Comics cover stock this week is embarrassing. Basically tissue paper like you stuff in the top of a gift bag. I'm afraid to handle them. Jeez, Marvel's cover stock is awful this week. I know paper costs are always rising, but the book shouldn't feel flimsier than the free comic shop news mag. Marvel, I don't know who came up with the idea to use tissue paper for covers of your new books, but that asshole needs to be fired as soon as possible. This is some straight bullshit. The paper stock on this week's Marvel Comics is embarrassing. Is absolutely embarrassing. Marvel already uses mediocre paper to print their comics, but today's batch is the worst I've ever dealt with. For a company worth billions, you'd think they could afford a better product. Me, I swear, Marvel's comic stock is getting thinner. This feels like tissue paper. Carly, anything to cut costs, I guess. This is from the company who put cardstock on every book in the 90s. Me, and they went bankrupt. Carly, because they put cardstock on every book. I don't know how they did it, but Marvel's paper quality somehow got worse this week. Every book's cover is wavy right when you buy it. I couldn't imagine reading one of their books multiple times but turn to confetti. This is even worse than normal. Savage Spider-Man and Shang-Chi this week are printed on terrible quality paper. Charmin had to branch out to make ends meet during the pandemic. Some of the Marvel issues we received for this week have been printed on a notably lower quality paper stock, a thin, flimsy paper of the same stock as the inferior pages. Because of the lower quality paper, many of these issues are a little more dinged up than we usually expect when we're receiving brand new issues from our publishers. As a result, our stock for these issues will contain a higher ratio of VF or FN copies than usual, with fewer NM available. Some of the titles from this week's releases include Iron Man, Maestro World M, Savage Spider-Man, and Shang-Chi. Marvel tells us to expect similar cover stock for these issues due out next week. Miles Morales and Silk. We and many other retailers have already made our feelings about this loud and clear to Marvel and its distributors. What we've heard from Marvel is that these issues will not be reprinted, but they are shifting back to a better cover stock for new issues going forward. Hopefully there aren't too many more of these issues in the pipeline.
This might actually be worth a lot of money because people can't keep them.
Right. You know, the cardstock program seems to have worked a treat for DC Comics. Now, this is kind of funny. Maybe Marvel, ironically, are hoping people are going to wipe their ass with their comics because their comic quality is absolute fucking dog shit garbage now. So now it's actually, you can actually use Marvel as toilet paper.
Yeah.
You can now, look guys, instead of spending all that money on toilet paper, you can just buy a bunch of issues of Marvel.
You know how much a comic book costs?
$2.99.
Yeah, $2.99. A couple of those, and you could afford like a 15-year-old pack of dollar. But I think.
I'm just saying.
If you want to feel rich, if you want some extra,
if you want some extra, maybe you just really hate Marvel, and you're just like fuck Marvel and their SJW bullshit. I recommend buying these because then you can actually wipe your ass with them. That would be great. Now, I mean, you would be paying them. You would be sending them money. But,
I mean, who's losing on that one? You or Marvel?
Marvel, yeah. But Marvel's at the same time, if you want to, if you want to wipe your ass with Marvel, this is a chance to do it. They've actually made pages that are just Charmin soft enough to wipe your ass with. So there you go. Definitely, and be careful. You don't want to get that ink too close to the anus. All right, so
believe him.
You don't want any of that kind of stuff near the anus. No chemicals that can cause really bad issues. Okay, so we've got one more article, and this is from Breitbart. Army scraps leg tuck from combat fitness test after women struggled with it. The Army announced Wednesday it was scrapping the leg tuck from its Army Combat Fitness Test for good and replacing it with a plank, after data showed women were failing at even doing one. The Army's decision to remove the leg tuck comes after a study from RAND concluded that the exercise did not correctly measure core strength in all soldiers, as it relied on soldiers' upper body strength as well. Instead, the plank exercise provides all soldiers a similar testing experience and allows the Army to accurately assess all soldiers' core strength, an Army press release explained. The leg tuck was one of a 6-event test aimed at testing soldiers' core strength. It required soldiers to hang from a bar and raise their knees to their elbows. The minimum to pass was one leg tuck. However, data showed that women were struggling with the leg tuck, and progressives serving in the military often took to Twitter to appeal to senior Army leaders to get rid of the event. Some members of Congress also got involved, such as Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who called the test unfair. According to a Military.com article, as of April 2021, 41% of women were failing the leg tuck. Now women have to do a plank for a minimum of a minute and 30 for women aged 17 to 21, 125 for a woman aged 20 to 26. 120 for a woman aged 27 to 31. 115 for a woman aged 32 to 36. And 110 for women aged over 36. The other events consisted of a maximum deadlift, standing power throw, hand release push-up, spring drag and carry, and 2-mile run. Well, they're going to probably nerf those too. The Army also announced that instead of a 2-mile run, soldiers can do a 2.5-mile walk, a 5,000-meter row, a 12,000-meter stationary bike ride, or a 1,000-meter swim, if required for medical reasons. These adjustments ensure fairness in the Army's transition to a new test of record and maintains the Army's strong commitment to a culture of physical fitness, the press release said. Army Secretary Christine E. Wormuth outlined in a statement, "The test is an essential part of maintaining the readiness of the Army as we transform into the Army of 2030, which will be an Army of Ashes."
Yeah, pretty much.
The revisions of the ACFT are based on data analysis, including an independent assessment required by Congress. "We will continue to assess our implementation of the test to ensure it is fair and achieves our goal of strengthening the Army's fitness culture." The change came after an in-depth independent review by RAND and a 3-year evaluation period. Active duty soldiers can start taking the test on April 1st, 2022, but their first test to go on record would not be until beginning of October 1st of 2022. Their first record test must be prior to April 1st, 2023. For Army Reserve and National Guard soldiers, their first record test must be prior to April 1st, 2024. "The delay in the record testing is permitted to further reduce any remaining risk to our soldiers," the press release said. The release said that the Army has established an ACFT governance body with an oversight by Army senior leaders to continue analysis of test data, closely monitor implementation, and recommend future modifications as appropriate. We actually do have one more article. I didn't even know this existed, but I do have it. Give me a second. I gotta get it from Firefox. Remember, there was some bullshit going on with Google Chrome, so you might want to start looking into another browser.
The use of Safari.
Okay. I probably should. Okay, so here we go. Woman called the lipstick bandit for planting kisses on unsuspecting men's t-shirts at parties. This potentially relationship-ruining story comes from Sydney, Australia. A party-going woman was captured on video by her friend leaving lipstick marks on the back of unsuspecting men's t-shirts at a party on St. Patrick's Day. She specifically chose men wearing white t-shirts for her joke. While this may seem like a harmless joke to this woman, it's not a good look for all the men who have to go back home and explain the lipstick kiss marks to their partners. That's where a lot of relationship problems and trust issues can sprout from. She's being called the lipstick bandit. "This act is very inappropriate, but it's also in bad taste, even if it seems funny to this unnamed woman. Many people shared their opinions on this unfunny act of putting men in trouble for no reason." Yeah, not cool, poor blokes. Destroying someone's clothes is not fun. Kissing them without consent is not fun. Just imagine the roles were reversed. I doubt you would feel the same. So are potentially wrecking a relationship is funny. I think it's absolute fucking bullshit. It's extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
That's a good way to really fuck up your whole relationship. Absolute fucking madness. I would not recommend it. Absolute fucking madness. I can't believe somebody would do that.
I can, because people are...
Yeah, people are fucking stupid. Let me read the Grim Show chats, and then we'll go on. Okay, well, Mal just has to say, "I'm busy with seeing Drex." Of course, that's fine. Shout out to Legal Mindset Andrew. Cool dude. I've listened to him a couple times. He's good guy to check out. Another lawyer, of course, by the name Legal Mindset. And you guys can probably go back and check him out now, because we're going to start being a dick, which people seem to love. So we're going to continue with that. And I hope you guys have enjoyed this one. Sorry I went on for Die Ranger so long, but, you know, it takes me a long time to finish a Sentai. So, yeah. At any rate, this will be the Grim Lord and Dead Penetration, and I think we're out of here.
Later.
Joy to decline.